This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, gang, it's Zach here with Laura. This is episode 60 of Marriage Therapy Radio. We're working today on what it means when you have the same argument sort of over and over and over again. Or what if you only had three? It's back to that whole perpetual problems issue. And I think it's an interesting conversation. Stick around.
Hi.
Hi. What's happening?
You're licking your lips from your sandwich that you just inhaled, literally like sucked it down. Did you chew?
I know. I was so hungry.
I could tell. Why were you so hungry?
Because I didn't eat yet today.
Oh, I get so grumpy if I don't eat. I get hungrumps.
Yeah. No, I got into my office early and was wall to wall with clients, and then I needed a sandwich. So I called Jimmy John's. I didn't call him. I go online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that too. I have literally ordered Jimmy John's into the emergency room. Because
that's cool.
I could go back and you can pull up all of the delivery locations that you've had Jimmy John's deliver to. And I basically just deliver Jimmy John's to any location I've ever been at ever. But yeah, the emergency room was great, which was awful because my husband couldn't eat because he was having a procedure done. Hey, I have something to tell you. I finally broke down. I didn't break down. I finally convinced my husband to buy a trailer, like a camper trailer. I'm going to be a trailer person.
like a RV or something.
Well, not an RV. We have to buy a truck to pull the trailer behind, but it's a trailer and it's called,
one of those things that kind of folds up.
No,
it's like a fold, like, and it has like the canopy in it.
No, you're 100% not a trailer person. If you don't know, that's a pop-up. Mm-mm. So it's not a pop-up and it's not an RV. Okay. It's the in between.
Oh, is it like one of those silver bullet things?
Kind of. It is.
Okay.
It's from Australia and they just started selling them. But the whole idea, and this took forever. If you could see the negotiations that were happening in my household, it was incredible. But
okay.
I want an RV because we travel a lot and we spend a lot of money on hotels and I wanted something comfortable to stay in. Ryan wants something that can go off-road. And there are not very many vehicles that can go off-road because we live in Utah. We're surrounded by the most amazing terrain, but it's really variable. So we ended up getting this camper that was developed in the Australian outback that could handle sort of crazy terrain like we have it here in Utah. And now I just need I'm going to buy a truck. I'm going to trade in my mom soccer SUV and I'm going to get myself a truck. I'm going to pull my trailer. I'm going to be a trailer pulling lady.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% not a trailer person. I'm the
or
guy who
a
goes
dog
on
person.
It goes on to hotwire.com. This episode of Marriage Therapy Radio is brought to you by Hotwire.
Hotwire.com.
No, and I get like a 5-star hotel like the day I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I pay. Yeah, I love it.
We would not be friends because what you just reminded me of is that day when you're like, you know what I should do? I should go to the World Series today. I should just get random tickets to the World Series and pay premium so that my daughter can go.
I paid less than face value. I paid under face value for those tickets.
Either way, it was overrated. Our value systems are very different. Because I'm a dog mom and a trailer person, and and you're a, what are you?
I like luxury. I don't like luxury. I just don't like. I don't know. I don't rough it. I don't want to rough it.
Says the man wearing a scarf around his neck.
Yeah, unshaven. I'm getting a haircut soon. Rebecca is like so mad at my hair right now.
Why?
Because it's just rough.
<Look at it. laughs> You're like, look at this. You're pulling your wings out. Oh, man.
So
I have to tell you something funny is that because I work with my clients virtually, last night my clients were drinking wine and they were super excited. Mm. And so they're sitting on their couch and they're enjoying a nice glass of wine while we're having our appointment at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And then this morning, my couple is sitting in their pajamas and his hair is literally out to, I mean, he had all the curls were super far out. I basically get to see people as if I was to walk into their living room unannounced. That's how my clients show up.
Nice.
All right. Tell me what we're talking about because you, this is you. You're taking the lead on this one. This is all about you.
Well, sort of. It's actually come from some clients who were in my office the other day. And they're working through some stuff as clients in our office typically do.
Yeah.
But she mentioned this book that she's reading, and she proposed this sort of the thesis of the book, and it made me go, "Huh, I wonder about that," because the book basically is about something that we talk about a lot: this idea of perpetual problems that you have with your partner, and that in this case, it was sort of this. And I haven't read the book. I'm only really repeating what she said. But this idea that you're having the same three arguments over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then those three arguments have a name. And one of them is be more like me. That'd be argument number one.
Yeah.
The second one would be more like my family. Mm-hmm. That'd be argument number two. And then argument number three, I think, was something like listen to my hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of like trying to understand the what argument you're really having, even though you might be arguing about, say, garbage, who takes the garbage out or whatever.
Like what's it really about?
What
it's
are
not
you really
about the garbage. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's those three things, but I thought,
let's bat it around.
About that. Yeah.
Well,
what do you think?
I mean, I totally agree. It's interesting because do you know the name of the book, by the way? Cause I'm sure that they would love to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah. Right. So we have so many advertisers right now. I can find it because I looked it up on Amazon.
And, okay.
Hold on.
See, it's by Amazon. One, listen to my hurt. So I was working with a client last night, not the client that was drinking wine.
Not the drunk client. But this.
And this is the day when my license was revoked. But
your clients are allowed to be drunk.
Sure. I mean, they weren't drunk. Yeah,
It's you that can't be drunk.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can guarantee that I was not drunk last night.
Okay.
But the argument, the foundation of the argument was listen to my hurts. That's what it was about. It was feeling dismissed, feeling as if one partner was putting themselves out there, was vulnerable, was revealing themselves. And all the while, their partner was not listening or was not giving them the response that they wanted. They weren't listening to their hurts. Instead, they had sort of received, I don't know what they would refer to it as, kind of like a lashing. Like, how dare you? Why would you do that? Look at the mistakes you made. And so that argument definitely lined up into the listen to my hurts part. Because I oftentimes hear people say all the time, just listen to me, just be there for me. The whole idea of like, be the shoulder to cry on. So when our partner doesn't show up in the way that we expect them to or want them to, here's one question I have.
Okay.
The thing that I'm coming up to is your partner not showing up for you in the whole listen to my hurts because they can't or because they won't? And that's oftentimes a differentiation that I like to get into because oftentimes I think it's not that they don't want to, it's that they don't necessarily know how to. And it's not a can't because I'm unable to, it's that I just don't know how at this moment. I don't know how to show up for you. Maybe going into that pain and showing up for you, like people get really uncomfortable when their partner is vulnerable. They get really uncomfortable when their partner has these big feelings, hurt or sadness, and they tend to move away from that hurt or sadness, or they end up stonewalling themselves. So, yeah.
It takes a while, I think, to figure out the difference between can't and won't. And then sometimes people don't even know, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't. And it takes some courage to admit that I won't. So I actually had a guy say that this morning, something like, you know, she told me what she likes, but I don't do it. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know. And he didn't know if it was because he was lazy or because he didn't care, or because he was forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an interesting thing to begin to kind of parse that with yourself, honestly, you know?
Yeah. I've been kind of dissecting the won't part. I don't know if you ever have you ever had this experience? We're really kind of diverting, but that's okay. In relationships where one partner says, I tell them exactly what I want. I am very clear in my communication and they do the opposite of what it is that I want. And that one's to me, that sounds like the won't piece, you know, because you work for days on clarity. You talk about maybe you're unclear in what you want. No, I'm clear for sure. I'm clear. But what is it that's stopping you? I don't know.
Yeah, the name of the book is We've Had This Fight Before.
Ah, who's it by?
It's by a woman named Claudia Grauf Grounds.
Huh. We've had this fight before. And you found it on Amazon. How much is it listed for?
$10? $14.99.
Ooh.
$14.99.
It's more expensive than your book.
Kindle edition is $9.99.
Okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay, so that's listening
to my
heart.
There's only 16 left in stock. Order soon.
We're just going to wonder why all of a sudden 16 copies went away. Because
you know, the argument I don't like, or I don't feel as resonant with, is this idea of be more like my family.
Yep, I agree.
That's one that it just doesn't tend to come up as much as you might think. I think it's funny. It's not funny. I think it's interesting, especially when the premarital counseling gets kind of takes a turn toward family of origin, which I do think is important. Mm-hmm. And I think you ought to understand. I think you ought to understand like what the deal is. But in my office, I don't have a lot of conversations with couples who want their partner to be more like their family. And I don't know if that's a product of creating your own family and kind of realizing that you really are a different entity or what, but that's the, if I were going to push back on Claudia Grauf Grounds' thesis,
well, here's where I see
it might be there. And again, I haven't read the book. I'm only just kind of speculating.
Hearsay. Here's where I see it coming up most recently is when we talk about argument styles, so the way that people show up. So you have one partner that's pretty passive. That's where they're most comfortable with. And one partner that grew up in a family that was very assertive and maybe even aggressive. And when it comes to managing conflict, one partner is basically saying, why can't you be more like my family? Why can't you be more aggressive? Why can't you just say what you mean and mean what you say in the moment? But instead, their partner is much more passive. They might stuff things down and hope that it goes away, or it might be a little more passive aggressive. But I see that coming out a bit more in the be more like my family piece.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's an interesting take. I think when I heard the client say that, it was more like, I think my brain went to like, be more like my dad or be more like the thing that I want or the thing that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. But maybe it is more about conflict style and the fact that you're pushing each other's buttons in ways that are not familiar or not in sort of ingrained into your like DNA.
Yeah.
Maybe that's valid. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Okay. Thank you. I will.
For $14.99.
What about be more like me?
All I can tell you for sure is that I don't want my wife to be more like me. In fact,
I don't want her to be more like you either. I can only handle one Zach in this world.
But I guess I get that, right? It's make sense of the world the way that I make sense of the world. Maybe is what you're kind of thinking through.
Boy. Yes.
I have maybe three couples in my practice right now that all have a very similar dynamic, which is that she is kind of a driven, corporate, kind of high powered force.
Awesome.
And he's kind of like Peter Pan. He's got more of a kind of doing his own thing, or and I think those two things come into conflict quite a bit, because I've said 100 times that there's nothing right or wrong about either of those descriptions. Mm-hmm. They're not good or bad in and of themselves, but they do force questions that really come down to kind of your value and your personality set. And I think that bridging the gap is especially challenging for these three couples that I have in my office right now.
Wow. Well, you talk about it with these perpetual problems, which is essentially what we're talking about. Like, we've had this fight before.
Yeah.
And having a perpetual problem in a relationship, we've kind of described this over and over in our workshops that we do. By the way, we have one coming up on March 22nd, 23rd. By the time
depending
this
on
comes
when you're
out,
listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Well, the next one's coming up in June. I think it's June 9th.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my calendar. But perpetual conflict is really about having these points of tension in your relationship, these fundamental differences between people, and kind of like the be more like me concept of maybe one of you is a glass half full and the other one of you is a glass half empty. And so the lens that you look at the world through is going to be tinted based on the way in which you view it. So glass half full, you're looking through rosy lenses. And the be more like me is, why can't you wake up in the morning and see the good in the world? Why can't you see the positives? Mm-hmm. Why can't you immediately go to that? And these types of perpetual conflicts, you're going to have every single day for the rest of your life. And you can trade your partner out, and the new partner that you get might agree with you. They might be a glass half full type of person, but they're also a slob. and you're a neat Nick, so it's a little bit different.
I'm thinking about the argument that Rebecca and I might have most often, and I don't know. I think if I'm arguing with her, I'm probably having this argument, which is just be nice to me. I think that's really it. Like if I get upset or if I get into conflict with my wife or either one of my daughters, I am basically arguing for just be nice to me, you know, or maybe just be nice to your sister. That's another thing, or be nice to your mom. But I think that's the part. If I've had that fight before, that's probably the name I would give it.
So you don't mind having a difference of opinion or like tension.
No.
It's how the conversation goes. It's how the conflict
totally.
Is managed.
Yeah.
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 Huh. That's interesting.
I'm pretty comfortable with difference. I'm pretty comfortable with tension. I just be nice, you know?
Yeah.
Or kind. I don't know what the right word is, but
yeah.
Don't be mean.
I have seen the be more like me come up a lot around this kind of, again, it's the lens in which you view the world, but one partner tends to get more stressed out and it runs more anxious than the other person. And the other one tends to be a little more laissez-faire. Did I say that correctly? Mm-hmm. It's not English. I can tell you that much. And I think the way that we worked around it is recognizing that this is never going to change. You're never going to change the other person.
Yeah.
And sure, you can try and change yourself, but it's probably not going to, you're always going to have that tendency to view the world in that particular way. But I think it's recognizing that it's beautiful to have these puzzle pieces that fit together in a specific way. So you and Rebecca, you can't be matching puzzle pieces. You wouldn't fit together. But in order to have a relationship, it's really nice that you tend to be one way and she tends to be the opposite way, because then you kind of fill your gaps a little.
Well, two things. One, I don't think I've ever looked at your nose from this angle before.
Hold on. I have a crooked septum.
Do you have that little crease? Yeah. You have that little crease there.
And not only that, but it's crooked. I think something happened to me in the womb. I'm not even joking. I think that half of my face looks like I had a stroke, and I believe it probably happened at like week 36.
Okay.
Just right. saying.
Anyway. So back to the topic
of my nose
at
hand. Crease.
No, I think what you're describing goes back to this idea of like, you hear couples say all the time, I want to be on the same team.
Right.
And this morning, actually, I had a woman say, I feel like we're not on the same team. We're not rowing in the same direction.
Ooh.
And I was like, And I was like, well, that's because you're not, the team that you're on isn't a crew team. It's not a rowing team. Rowing is two people doing exactly the same thing at the exact same time in order to create efficiency. Mm-hmm. It's more like you're a volleyball team. You have different responsibilities and roles, and you make up for each other's weaknesses, and you try to, you know, plan your strategy based on the team that you're playing against and their strengths and weaknesses.
Man, that is so stinking brilliant.
So I don't know. I think this idea that, you know, be more like me or, you know, whatever it is, it really needs to be understood within the context of what it is that we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. And there might be times where you need to be, the two of you need to be on a row team. But I love the idea of a volleyball team. I played volleyball growing up, and like, you're constantly setting other people up for success on your team. Like, you are trying to put, like, you're trying to get the ball in the air in just the right place for the other person to have as much ease in setting you up again for success. So it's all about like a push-pull dynamic with this relationship of, I got you, now you got me, and now that together, with our powers combined, Captain Planet. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's about, I don't know, we could beat this metaphor to death, and maybe we should, but it's right now, the beginning of free agency in the NFL. And so my news feed, anyway, has all these headlines about this person's going there, or that player's going to do that, or this. And what it ultimately is people trying to put the pieces together, right? I want to find the pieces that go with these other pieces that help us become successful. And I think that's what it's about. Good. We are no longer talking about having the same argument all the time, but well, that's what happens.
You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to see if I can find, we've had this fight before at my local library, because I'm not willing to spend money on a book if we've already gotten like the thesis, but there might be something interesting
<That's so funny. laughs>
to read from this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Well,
what's her name? Sorry, I forget her name already, but
she had two last names.
I'm sure she's a very nice lady. Yeah.
Oh.
Claudia. Sorry, Claudia. We're not willing to spend $10 on your book. You know what, Laura? I'm going to buy this book for you. I'm just going to buy it and send it to you so that you can read it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, I am a minimalist. And by that, I mean, I go to my local library and I'm if it's on hold, I'm willing to wait 6 months to read this book. Don't buy it. Do not. I can see you clicking around on your computer. Do not buy that book. All right.
I'm going to see you next week.
Yeah, you are. You lucky duck. All right. Bye, Zach. Just say bye.
Or leave it? Okay,
yes,
bye.
Just say bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. You guys, as of today, I'm sitting here on iTunes and I'm looking at 133 five-star reviews. Yes, it makes me feel amazing. And yes, it fills me with pride. But more so, it makes me so happy that so many of you have taken the time to go and leave us a review. And so many of you have written these incredible things about how you found the podcast and what you find beneficial. And what that does is that helps other couples out there find this podcast. So if you're joining us on our journey of wanting to reach as many couples as possible, to entertain them, to inform them, to give them some sort of insight that maybe they didn't know before, so that they can have a better relationship today than it was yesterday. So thank you so much, everyone, for leaving us a review. And keep it up. If you haven't done it, we'd love to hear from you.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.